Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for attending and good afternoon and most welcome and very welcome to the session on going on a service management road trip from A to Z Energy. My name is Leon Swart and I'm a service management consultant with Microsoft Services. So it is my pleasure to introduce this talk this afternoon. I also believe it's the first non-technical talk that we have at TechHead. So thank you very much for all being here. It's a bit of an experiment and it's wonderful to see so many of you here this afternoon. I want to introduce to you my co-presenters this afternoon from Z Energy, Michelle and Paul, and I'm going to ask them if they could please introduce themselves.
Sure. So I'm Michelle, and I'm the Technical Delivery Manager for Z. That means that I work with our partners to make sure that our environment keeps running and also check that when things go into the environment, they're safe.
I'm Paul Bribner, Service Delivery Manager for Z Energy, and really I'm all about the customer experience, making sure we're delivering technology solutions to get what they need.
Thank you very much. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's not often that we do get customers that are willing to share their success story on service management in the public domain, and that is exactly why we're doing this service management presentation this afternoon. We've got lots of success stories, not always customers that are willing to share them, though. But nevertheless, our agenda for this afternoon, I'm going to give you a very brief introduction just to service management, just to set the scene. So the theory behind it can be quite boring, but the practical implementation quite exciting, as you'll hear this afternoon. And then what we want to spend most of our afternoon on is the journey at Z Energy, and effectively that road trip that we talked about is effectively just the journey of how we're implementing and where Z Energy is at this present moment in time. And then Paul and Michelle will close off by telling us where are the next steps and where they are seeing to be going with us. Okay, so very briefly, what is service management? Heaps of words on the screen. it's always one where we blow people a little bit with the amount of words. But effectively, service management is really about how do we manage the value that we deliver to the customers. Whom of you have heard of a framework called ITIL? Yeah, most people in the audience, excellent. So ITIL has got a definition of service management that calls it the organizational capabilities to deliver value in the form of services. So how do we as IT and as an IT service provider define that value to our customers? And how do we actually manage and deliver that value to our customers? And that is really the game that we talk about in service management. The other thing I would like to mention is the people, process, and technology, that triangle of interworking components in service management. You know that Gartner has done some research and found that over 80% of issues on a day-to-day basis are caused by people and process, and only 20% or so are caused by technology. Yet most organizations don't hesitate to spend heaps of money on the technology, putting in nice shiny boxes, but when we need the people and process to actually manage it, to get the efficiency and effectiveness around the processes and the value, often there could be some stumbling blocks. So really, that's what service management is. Just a quick intro. And at Z Energy,
we like to keep it a lot simpler. We just like to call it a way to deliver the things that we need to get after what's really important at agreed service levels and at a cost that we've agreed is effective. It's just a simple sentence.
Cool. Thanks, Michelle. Would you like to tell us, guys, about who is Z Energy?
Sure. So Z Energy was formed about 3 years ago. Originally, we were called Greenstone Energy, and effectively, it was a purchase of Shell's downstream oil business in New Zealand was the major part. And that was a combination of Infratil and New Zealand Superfund. And so our core business is delivering fuel to retail sites, so the Z stations you see around the country, commercial sites such as truck stops, through to airports for planes to get up in the air, right through to shipping. And we even have diverse other business such as bitumen for roading contractors, and even a chemicals plant who produce things like detergents.
Yeah. So on day one, when we became Greenstone Energy and took over that downstream business, we had been part of a big multinational with all of their people, process and technology. But day one, we were a Kiwi company, and we actually had to get our technology and environment into something that was all ours. So in a very short period of time, we stood up Active Directory, Exchange, a desktop image. We had to disconnect from the large multinational network and become our own. And it was a really big deal for Zed. We put a lot of work into it. We worked hard with our partners. And we got some recognition from national awards for all of the work that we did. Now, the thing about putting in all of that technology in a really short time frame is you focus on delivering the technology. And the thing about focusing on technology is you don't get the time to stop and think about the people and the process to make sure that the investment you've just made is going to be successful into the future. So they were our challenges. And what matters to Zed is having the energy to get after what matters. And when we think about that in business technology, getting after what matters means providing our people a technology platform that they don't actually have to think about how it works. It just works. So some really key principles for us is to be operationally excellent and to silently run. So those are the things that matter to us in business technology for Zed. So where were we in November 2012? Well, we'd had that year of really pushing out a lot of technology, except we didn't really stop to take a breather and do the thinking and the planning for the people and process bit. We started to innovate on top of that platform. We had an internal app support group and an operational team that were running really hard to keep the new stuff going and to keep herding in the new technology. So we were constantly firefighting. We had really good people doing really good work, but it felt like being on a treadmill. No matter how fast we ran or how hard we worked, we just didn't get ahead of that curve of things being hard to get, you know, to keep it going and to stop fighting the fires. And actually, when we stopped to try and take a think about how we could make things different, because we knew it was the people and process part by that stage, it felt like climbing Mount Everest. Where do you start when you're so busy fighting the fights? I'm pretty sure there's a whole bunch of you that kind of feel like you can relate to that. Anybody? Firefighting?
Hands up, guys. Who's firefighting on the treadmill? There you go.
So we knew there was a better way to do this. And we came and talked to Microsoft Premier Support about how we might achieve that.
Cool. Thank you very much. All right, so Michelle, so what we did is through our Premier Agreement, we started last year with our first piece of engagement, and we call this the Operational Risk Assessment, or as we inside Microsoft refer to it fondly as the Ops Wrap. So the Ops Wrap is really an engagement that we use to start identifying what are the issues in an organization. It is typically used in an organization which from a service management perspective, we've got very few elements of service management going or hardly any of them. You probably might see some form of a service desk, some form of incident management, maybe a little bit of change management, but not really much more. So that's where the Ops Wrap is a very useful engagement to start understanding where are the risks in the service management environment. And then from identifying what those risks are, then come out with a list of priorities in terms of what are the key issues to address in your environment from a service management's perspective to effectively alleviate those risks.
Yep, and it's exactly why we did this. We wanted to be able to talk about our current state, to know where we were exactly. We also wanted to be able to identify the risks that might be present in our environment we were not currently aware of. And those risks were all around our service management. We'd done technical risk assessment programs. Are you any of you Premier Support customers and you've done maybe an AD wrap or an X wrap? We've done those too, and they're good. But this wrap was a little bit different because where we have all of that stuff outsourced to our partners and a wrap is really about assessing their performance with our technology, an ops wrap was about assessing our performance and doing our jobs and running our environment. So we needed to be able to establish the current state, see our risks, and also we wanted to know once we got the results, what we should prioritize.
Absolutely. And how do we do this ops wrap? Ladies and gentlemen, the way, you know, good consulting is about good workshops. It's about getting the right people in the room and effectively having those conversations and sometimes very difficult conversations about where things are at in that organization. And sometimes, you know, people try and hide things away and all the rest of it. But I think with Zed Energy, we saw a bit of a difference. What they did, because they value the interaction with their business and the rest of the organization so much, they actually brought in some of their business areas into some of these interviews, which was really a lot of courage that they displayed in terms of playing open cards, showing the business we're on this journey, we want to start this journey in getting things moving in the right direction, but effectively opening themselves up. And that was really special about this. But anyway, that's on how we do it. You guys want to talk about what you got out of this assessment?
Yeah, for sure. So as Leon alluded to, I mean, it was really important for us about the customer focus. So we were prepared to perhaps show a little bit of dirty laundry, but in doing so, really try and show that we wanted to make improvements. And really the same applied to our direct management team as well. I mean, we were putting quite a lot on the line and basically saying, well, this is how we're performing. And I think out of that, we did get some pretty good respect And through the workshop, you know, there was an awareness that processes actually, it's useful and it has its place.
Yep. And the other thing I'd add in there is that when you do a risk assessment program, like with the technical ones, on an ops rep, you get compared to other organisations. So you kind of see how you're doing. The other thing that you can use for the ops rep with the result is that you've now got a baseline. So at some point in our future, and that might not be the first 12 months, it could be 24 months out, you can then run the ops rep again and see how you compare, how far you've come. It's a really good way to realise your benefits.
Absolutely. And it was not all doom and gloom, as some people might think about it. You know, it's often this is about identifying where are good things happening and how do we springboard off those in terms of getting other initiatives going. And that's exactly what happened here, which leads us to the next piece of work that we did together with Z Energy, and that's called remediation planning. Now, what we often see with organizations is the risk assessments are getting done, but after that, what actually happens to address those issues? If there's not something formalized put in place to effectively drive this going forward, then things tend to not happen. And it's not because people don't want them to happen, it's just everybody is so busy being busy, and you're getting back into the rut of the daily way of running things, and then things get left behind. So effectively, this remediation planning was really about taking the recommendations and the priorities that we've identified out of the ops rep and effectively going to put together a plan of work in terms of what are the issues and how are we actually going to address them, and also in the order in which we were going to address them.
Yep, and we really wanted to capitalise on that little bit of management support we'd managed to obtain by doing the ops rep in the first place. We wanted to make sure we capitalised on that. We wanted to be able to develop the service improvement plan. We wanted to know what we should get after first, and the remediation would be able to order that for us. And it also, we wanted to know what we could do ourselves in-house and then what else we might go to for someone like Leon, who's been our mentor through the service management journey.
Excellent. Thanks, Michelle. And then how do we do this remediation planning? You'll see the common theme of workshops come up. But really, the key thing about these workshops is getting the key stakeholders, the people that would effectively be involved in this in terms of understanding and really work out the activities and the actions that is going to give Z Energy the best benefit for their buck in terms of the stuff that really matters most for them. And I think what I started to see at that stage already is as we started to grow the amount of people involved throughout the workshops, how the lights started turning on, people started to get engaged, how people started to understand, and it was only at that stage, still in the very early shoes, but it was very evident for me as an outsider to actually see those changes in the people at that early stage already. You guys want to talk about the benefits, what you got out of it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was pretty cool. We could quickly see that we were actually doing pretty well in some areas, and that was quite heartening, to be fair, and it made you want to continue and figure out how else could you improve in some of those areas, perhaps, that you were underperforming. So we got a really clear understanding of what the next steps were for some of those areas that we wanted to improve, and we're also able to identify the early wins that we could get after, like not just soon, but actually start working on it today. And look, ultimately it proved quite critical in getting some information about how we could get after some funding in the future as well.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So once we've done that remediation planning, the first cab of the rank was really around incident management. Anybody in the room, I mean, most people say you've heard about ITIL, so most people know about incident management, what it is. Yes? All good. Excellent. So for those of you that may not know, and I'll just spend a few seconds on this, incident management is really that process which we use to restore service to the user as quickly as possible. So it's very much a process that's very time-driven, very pressure in terms of getting the user up and going as quickly as we possibly can. So this is not necessarily where we look at root cause or trying to determine root cause. It is really about just restoring service. And the unique thing here at Z Energy, and I'll let them, Paul and Michelle talk about that a bit more, was that this was not a stock standard implement incident management engagement. This was something where we had to tailor and customize the engagement quite a bit because there was a unique situation in Z Energy. Would you guys like to elaborate what sort of situation was?
So at Z, we've chosen to get in people with it. We call them our partners. We don't like to talk to them as our vendors. We have more than just a commercial arrangement with them. They're really our partners to make sure that we can deliver our technology. They're on the line as much as we are for delivering the services to our customers. So we have a number of critical partners, and each of those partners have their own incident management process. And when you've got 5, 6, 7, partners that you consider delivering critical services, and they've each got their own incident management process, and you might need to bring in three or four of them on one incident, it starts to get to be a bit like herding cats. And so incident management was an area of significant operational pain, and we really wanted to see a single end-to-end process come together, and we knew that this was the best one to go after first.
Excellent. Now, how did we do this? Again, we had workshops. But these workshops, what we did is because of the number of parties or the number of areas involved, like Michelle said, they're partners, which most of us would refer to as vendors. But the specific culture in Z is because that relationship is so important to them. They wanted to make sure that the partnership and the one team thing is very much emphasized in that environment. So it doesn't matter who you are, you're part of the big team. And it was about getting all these different areas, and we nominated the key vendors and also one of the support areas, the apps support area inside Z. And we had specific design sessions with them where we walked through and actually teased out exactly what they were doing, each of them individually. And it was amazing. Once I started putting this sort of stuff together, it was amazing how these things actually fitted together and where the touch points were actually becoming quite evident. And then at the end of the engagement, I brought them all together in one big session and started mapping this out in front of them, getting everybody's agreement, but and people started to relax because they saw immediately where the touch points were and with the stuff that we actually wanted to do there. And that's, I think, is probably more prevalent for Paul and Michelle to talk about those benefits.
Yeah, I think one of the cool outcomes we saw from our internal resolver groups was starting to get a feeling for them that it wasn't just another piece of work they now had to do on top of fixing widget ABC. They actually had a partner process where they played their part and then actually handed off to someone else to take care of it. So they were no longer the one-stop shop. They could actually have a team helping them with their incidents. So that was pretty cool to start that dialogue. And look, the output we got was fantastic in terms of the end-to-end process. I mean, that was really crucial for us. And ultimately, it has helped to decrease the time to resolve, if nothing else, by better communication.
Yep, so when you do something like an incident management workshop, what you're looking to get at the end of it is a charted document of what incident management is to you, what success looks like and how you can manage it, and most importantly, in our environment, who's responsible for what. And it was that bit of that really open conversation about who is responsible for what which makes it such a success.
And it was very heartening to see how some of the concerns and people were, the different areas were concerned that they were going to negatively impact on others and all the rest of it, and things were going to fall through the cracks when communicating. And once we started rolling, documenting and actually assigning those different responsibilities and mapped it all out for people, that those concerns started going away. And it was great to see, especially in the apps support area, typically and historically an area that tends to buy very difficultly into the service management sort of stuff, simply just because of the nature and the way development people often think. And it was great to see their concerns that we could actually address those and actually through this whole process make it easier for them and also for them to understand where they fit in and also for them to know where to put the different issues that they were sitting with that they didn't know who to actually hand it off to. So that was the other sort of things that I, as an outsider, also saw coming out of these sessions. So all in all, again, if I can take a common theme through this, if you see the level of buy-in, you know, there was some level of buy-in at the remediation planning, but we also saw definitely the level of buy-in from a bigger group of people starting to increase when we started doing the incident management. So there's light at the end of the tunnel. Things are actually can go better for us. And that in itself is helping people to actually see that, you know, this is not all for nothing. We're actually going somewhere with this.
Yep.
Right, then the next piece of work we did was around service mapping and service catalog, and certainly one of the more interesting and much more rewarding pieces of work to do as a consultant in companies at this present point in time. And just to explain what service mapping and service catalog is early on in the session I said that, you know, service management is that set of organizational capabilities to deliver value in the form of services. So effectively, if we're going to now deliver services, we actually need to understand what those services are. If you walk into a restaurant, and if I can use the analogy of a restaurant, you go and walk into a restaurant and you sit down, one of the first things the waiter will put into your lap or in front of you on the table is a menu. So it's effectively what can you actually get from this restaurant. And it's similar, the sort of stuff that we're talking about is what are the services that we as IT are providing our business. So it's there's actually a step before you can actually put it in a catalog. There's a step before that. Let's go and identify what those services actually are. And then go and start describing them and all the rest of it, and then capture the necessary information and putting it in a service catalog. And what we did with this engagement is bring the service mapping engagement in as part of this and made this an exercise where we actually now start looking at service maps to identify what are those different components that actually make up this service that we are delivering. And once people start understanding what those different components are, then things generally start opening up and the picture generally becomes clearer. If you go into IT and you ask three people the same question, how many answers do you expect to get?
Six.
I'll get anything from 4 to 13 coming up from, yeah. How many answers would you like to get? Oh, who said two? I love the humor, thank you. So you would like the same answer. And this is a way where we're actually with having that single source to start creating that single view, that single understanding and common understanding of what IT is actually delivering.
Yeah, so and the one thing, there is something else that we did a bit differently. When we combine the service mapping and the catalog together, normally they're about a week long each. So we had 2 weeks of time with Leon, and we split that over three different sessions over about 2.5 months. And having the time in between those sessions meant that we got to have more conversations with people outside our team, inside our team, and been able to take the time to think about what a service is and describe it. And what happens over all those conversations is that you're including more people on the journey. You're getting a better shared understanding of what service management is. And every time I talk about it, my understanding distills down. I just get that little bit more clarity so I can speak better about it. So having spread it out over those 2 months was actually really valuable. And we went into doing service mapping and catalog. I guess for me the biggest reason was you can't manage it if you can't measure it. And I can't measure it if I don't actually know what it is. And we had a lot of people that knew about individual services, but we didn't have this whole menu that we could offer. So no one person in business technology could say, this is what we offer, this is what we do for our business, and this is the value we provide. So without having that single message, it was really hard to tell our business, this is why we're so good for you.
Exactly. So how did we do it? It was, again, the whole idea was to have the workshops with the necessary people in the room. And effectively, what we did here is not only do this with actual operational teams, but also to bring the project teams in as well. And I want to talk about that a little bit more later, together with Paul and Michelle, when we started going into that. But effectively, the way was to first of all start identifying what those list of services were. And it was amazing when you start looking at what organizational services are. The stuff that IT deliver in itself, in other words, stuff like the data center and stuff like the network and stuff like the desktop services, those are the easy things. Is when the conversation starts getting very interesting and very trying sometimes, is when IT now starts talking about what are we actually delivering to the business. And hang on, we actually need to talk their language, because it's something that the business knows it as. And it's about having those conversations to start understanding exactly what is that collection of services. Once we've identified what those list of services are, and there was quite a few of them, we then went on and picked some of the most important ones and some of the ones that were really critical for them and stuff where people were really struggling with some stuff, and effectively started building the service maps around it. And it's amazing to see throughout these service maps how, you know, the light starts going on. They say a picture tells 1,000 words. Believe me, this picture often tells 1,000,000 words, because it's effectively now people all of a sudden starting to realize what is actually involved. It's about having those conversations with the business to say, well, you know, this service is actually not as simple and easy as we think, because look, these are all the different components that actually makes up delivering these services. And it's about the ability to have those sort of conversations. But I'll let Paul and Michelle expand a bit more in terms of what they got out of the service maps and service catalog.
Yeah, I mean, our first draft of one of our services that we offer, I mean, that was great. And look, it really started to introduce now our architecture team to service management as well, which I guess early on we hadn't expected that. To say that we can't talk with our architecture team, but it was great to start to translate right through from design through to what it actually looks like for a customer. And the other passionate thing we found was just how important language was to us through these workshops. So we had a particular staff member in our team who was all about people impact. So she actually started up our customer call centre over in Manila, and then she also helped to bring it back when we became a New Zealand company. And then she became part of our business technology team. And so one of the things that, since she's moved on to a new role, it's left us with the question of what would Sulu say? And it's really cool because she just attacks things in a different angle. So we would come up with a nice technical term to talk about something and just say, well, you say that to a person, they've got no idea what you're talking about. So we had some really good dialogue on some of the language.
Definitely. And I think one of the other benefits that we saw is that we worked with our project teams on one of our service maps, and we're going to show you the service map shortly. And what happened is when we included our project teams on service mapping, they got this view of the environment of when you introduce a new service, you're impacting a lot more than you realise. And the project manager just went, oh, I've got so much more to think about, and I wish I'd done this heaps earlier. So it was really cool getting those light bulb moments.
Exactly. We've made up a bit of time when we practiced this earlier this afternoon. It was a lot later than because between me and Michelle, we talk at 200 miles an hour.
Yep.
So we've made up some time, so I can spend a couple of minutes on this one. Just what Z Energy is prepared to share with us this afternoon is the service maps that we drew up. And the one we drew up here was for email, for corporate email, and just to give you guys a bit of an idea, there's a lot of components that actually are involved in delivering a service. So there's a lot more than simply just an application or just a piece of software or just a piece of hardware when we're actually delivering the services. One of the most powerful things on this diagram, if you look at the top, you'll see that the top right, the light green and the dark green ellipses that we have up there are actually the services upstream and downstream. So it shows you the interdependency of a service from an upstream and a downstream perspective, which in itself is a really powerful picture and a powerful story to tell. So each one of those up and downstream ellipses actually have a service map of their own. And if you put all this stuff into a tool where one can actually click through this, it means that the same piece of information becomes available to everybody else in IT who's got access to that system and effectively talk the same story and provide the same answer. And there's a lot of benefits coming out of this. Now, why are we talking specifically about this in detail? Because this service map is really a generic one of a live operational service. Yep. What happened is during this engagement, because we did it over a longer time period and Z Energy had a lot of time to actually reflect and actually talk a bit about it and actually get more out of it, Paul and Michelle approached me and said, look, can we actually do a service map on a project? And whilst we ideally don't do service map on a project because a project is not really that live service that we're talking about as the engagement, I've sensed that something was busy happening in Zed, and we allowed it, and we actually had the session on drawing up the service map for the project. We ended up calling it the mind map of a project. And the project manager, who happened to be an ex-student of mine, so he's also service management savvy, he was actually the project manager for this project. What happened is it was amazing. About 20 minutes into the session where we started drawing out the detail, he exclaimed, using a four-letter word which I cannot use in public, and he said, oh, dot, 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 you know what I'm going to say, why didn't we do this 4 or 5 months earlier? Because we started identifying some gaps and some issues that he could then go and actually go and plug the holes that we've identified by just drawing up the service map. There were further benefits out of this, and I'm going to let Paul talk to one of them. However, before Paul does that, I just need to highlight to you that on the left we've got the upstream services that will effectively affect this project that this project is reliable on. But on the right-hand side, instead of talking about downstream services, we actually plotted in all the different business processes that this project actually delivers to. So remember, this project was still about 2 months away from going live. But effectively, it was about identifying which of those business processes this project actually delivered to. It was an asset management one, so you can obviously think that there was a lot of stuff involved in this. And I'll let Paul and Michelle talk in terms of, you know, the one conversation Paul had that is just, you know, he has to tell you the story.
Yeah, so not long after we'd finished the maps, the project's getting close-ish to go live. The business owner has, you know, put their name against a fairly sizable investment and a fairly significant project. So naturally we thought, oh, it'd be good to touch base just to talk about how this might look like when we go live and how it might look like in BAU. So there were some concerns because we had some very smart people on this project. Typical thing, you've got these top-notch resources, but you kind of know month after go live, you're probably not going to have those resources anymore. So basically we were having a bit of a service conversation chat, and really the moment came when I shared this information. So at first she looked at it and there was a lot of technical detail. So she was heartened. She thought, okay, you guys basically know how this hangs together technically. That's a good sign, but I'm not convinced. But once she saw the business processes and she saw the language was exactly how her people talk about using the tool set, she was won over. And it was just, yeah, very positive. And then from there, we took it a little bit further during that conversation, and I suggested that, hey, look, it would be great once we go live to have a focal point for the service. This was something we'd talked about in our workshops, and we hadn't really formalised how we were going to construct this relationship, but we just knew there was something in it. And within the end of the conversation, she had not only nominated somebody within her team, but the next day she had that person agree to it, and it's now loaded in their KPIs for their performance.
Yeah, that was really cool. I mean, I think these are the conversations you can have that are really soft and easy to have with your business without having to do a huge spiel about what service management is and really try to get them on board with the whole thing. You can just have little conversations like this along the way, and you just build up more and more support for what you're trying to do.
Would you like to just say something about projects and how they're making service maps now part of that process?
Absolutely. So as you can see, we've got this as a mind map, and you saw the corporate email, which is a service map, so that's a true service map. We've actually come to realise that there's benefit in both, and we like to do the mind map early on in the project's piece, and then we like to do the service map as you're getting closer going live, because that's where you can talk about what will be operational. But doing a mind map early on just means that you've got a lot more information to work with and make sure you get all your design in the right place. Because if you design for good operation, it's much easier to make, you know, to have that silent running and that operational excellence than try and retrofit it because it wasn't done in the first place.
I think one of the wow moments for me was when the project management people were actually seeing the value and were quite willing to actually do this because it helps them to identify the potential gaps in their projects early on.
Yeah.
So there was some really, really good stuff coming out of there. Michelle, would you like to talk about this service catalogue that you're busy building for Z?
Yeah, so this is a pretty vanilla service catalogue that you could expect to receive once you've done a service catalogue workshop. It's just a SharePoint template. We haven't branded it with Zed yet or anything, and that's because we haven't actually released it to our customers. And we won't release it to our customers until we have our core critical services all described in it. It'd be like walking in and getting a menu that has space for 20 items, but there's only two described. And so building your catalogue does take time. We think that we'll have enough services mapped to be able to publish the catalogue early to mid-next year. And there's no point trying to rush through doing your service map and getting your catalogue out there. You really need the people that are involved in the operation and design of the service to do the mapping for you. It's not worth getting somebody in from the outside to do those for you.
Absolutely. And as you can probably see, it's a bit small on the screen, but it's really just a template, a SharePoint template that we provided to Z Energy as part of the engagement. And effectively, it's a SharePoint, something in that organization which is commonly used. So the interface with the users and the availability of that sort of data is something that will seamlessly be incorporated into Z Energy. So obviously, it's something that you're busy working on.
Yep.
How long do you think you're going to take with that?
Early to mid next year.
So this is, and I think this is important to just state that building a service catalog is not something you do in 6 weeks.
No.
It takes a little bit longer. However, the value in terms of having that sort of information, it now becomes a single source of information for everybody in the company to talk about the same stuff which IT is delivering for the rest of the organization. So it's not having 20 or 25 different things. And one of the nice things about some of these conversations which we had as part of the workshops was that people were finding out about things that we were, as IT, delivering that they themselves didn't know about, which is often one of the nice things to come. So all throughout these workshops, and especially when we did the service maps and the service catalog, it was great to see how the level of buy-in, how people were starting to understand, how they're actually starting to see the value of these things actually feeding through to their data environment. But the big wow year was also the projects that were really coming on board. Excellent. Then the next, you remember early on in the session I talked about, we all talked about the remediation planning, a work that happened just after the ops wrap. And PAR, and so all the activities we've described to you now were all that we planned out from that remediation planning. And one of this important component that you see in front of you on the screen now is to draw up the service management framework and plan for Z Energy. So what is this service management framework and plan? It's really about on a strategic level. So this is not an operational discussion. This is a strategic discussion to start discussing what will service management look like in Z Energy. So there are lots of different frameworks in the public arena. There's stuff like ITIL, there's MOF, there's COBIT, there's heaps of things. But Z Energy is a type of an organization that pride themselves on being agile, so they don't want something in place that is going to be heavily bureaucratic, that sort of will tie them down in heavy formalized processes and all the rest of it, so that they can't move. So they need a framework which has got structure to it, however, still allows them the agility they need to be competitive in a very competitive market. So this was about making sure that we put together a framework that was fit for purpose for Z Energy, and together with us also come up with a strategic roadmap in terms of how is Z Energy actually going to achieve and put together this component and the plan associated with that.
Yeah, so all of that, right, is for why we did it. And to give you an idea of one of the principles that we came up with during the service management framework is for our technical change control. That agile thing's really important. So you could say that one of the core principles of our change control is that you get stuff done fast, safely. So that's why what we wanted to do is make sure that we had defined all those processes that were important to us, so that we could all refer back to those as principles. We wanted to have that common language within our team. And we also wanted to say, this is what our ideal looks like. This is what we want our future nerdvana state to be. How do we actually get there? Because you've got to figure out, where do I want to be? Where am I now? And what are the steps in between?
Absolutely. So how did we do it? Guess what? The workshops are there again. But the key thing is it's about engaging the right people. And this is about identifying what it will look like in the future, again, on a strategic level. I think here as well, in terms of the engagement of people, is the group of people that were now engaged were also some of the people that were along in the service maps, some of the people that went along on the journey when we created the incident management process. So in other words, the audience is progressively getting larger and larger in Z Energy as we started talking about this picture. And I think, and I want to lead this into the benefits, one of the things that stood out for me as part of this engagement was really the way that people started taking ownership by starting to see, this is where I fit in, and this is effectively my part that I have to play. And people started to grab the interest and starting to make the input and starting to help to create that picture in the way that it will fit in with Z Energy's culture. And that was one of the big standouts for me as an outsider to the organization. I don't know, I'm sure you guys would like to elaborate on that.
Absolutely. So that first benefit, the common language, and that we chose specific words, we were really careful about the words we chose, and I'll point out an example after this slide. The reason why we're really careful about the words we chose is because that was our culture we were choosing. We wanted to make sure that the words we used reflected what was important to Zed. So take your time when you do this stuff, that you are choosing the right words for your organisation. Know what your values are and make sure they're reflected. It's one of the, when your management see their values in your work, it's an easy sell. So common language is really important. Our documented framework. So in 2 weeks, we had this comprehensive document. We started with nothing, just an idea of where we wanted to go in the future. We had this comprehensive document which said, this is our governance, this is our principles. Here's every single process within our framework. So incident release, disaster recovery, technical change control, people impact, all of those are processes. There's about 26 or 27 in our framework. For each one of those, we defined what it was. We defined what outcomes we were seeking from doing that, and what success looks like, because performance is really important to Zed. So we wanted to know, how do we get to be good? What is good? So that was having that document at the end of that 2 weeks was fantastic. We've got a presentation slide deck, and you'll see a part of that after this one. And that slide deck has been used to talk not just to our management or to our teams. We've shown it to our customers. We've shown it to most of our partners. And having a story to tell and a way to tell it that's consistent with all of your evangelists is really important too. More than anything, we had a key number of people that were just really excited about service management once they could see it described and they knew what it was really about. And there's a bunch of Zed people in the audience, if you could stand up, that have been part of this journey as well. Nigel, Sid, Keith, Steve. So yeah, it's just been a really good team journey.
And I think the passion and the interest and the way these people were engaged were absolutely phenomenal. So I mean, and it's really a true success story to tell, which is why we're very confident to tell you the story this afternoon.
So just before we move on to the next slide, there's one other story I wanted to tell about one of our customers. So we'd implemented a really cool piece of business intelligence. It was a forecasting tool. It was delivering great results. However, it was a very noisy piece of technology. Now, this ranged from being data entry issues, enhancements requested, and look, ultimately the occasional bug. So we spent some time on those conversations with the lead person involved. So we got somebody nominated as the go-to person, and we started conversations. We started conversations weekly, and then it became fortnightly. And guess what? Now it's monthly. And what a lot of it came down to was just trying to separate the noise and just being really clear about the pieces of the conversation we were having. So the biggest win out of it is that by creating an enhancements list and being really clear that that's not actually bugs that we need to fix, that it's actually enhancements, they were able to make a business case for a phase two. And I think it was about a week ago that they got approval from the exec to proceed early next year. So, you
huge
know,
win for both.
Just great. But it's all about starting those conversations. And some of the reporting we do in those conversations, it's more about experience management. It's not like I'm giving them a report on this is how many nanoseconds it took to deliver your forecasting results. It is literally, how did the team feel it performed this month? And then we sit down and we have a chat.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the next slide shows what this service management framework looks like on a single picture. And you'll see the pride on these people next to me's faces when I bring up the slide, because they're really and truly proud of what we've created.
That's because of my awesome PowerPoint skills. I love the arrows. Okay, so those arrows are actually our governance circle. Because when you say governance, it's like, is that some heavy bureaucrat? Is it something that's going to, am I breaking rules? What is governance really about? So actually, it was really important to have something that fits in, because we don't really like to be bound by rules. So our governance is really excellence. So these are the words, right? Remember, we talked about choosing your language. Excellence is a measure of quality, which is what we always strive to have. We talk about having responsibility. So if that is your area of responsibility, take it up. Be the owner for that. Go out and forge ahead and make it the best that you can. And then the ownership thing is, when you're in that multi-sourced environment, make sure you don't go play in other people's sandpits without them agreeing to it. So it gets really interesting. If you've got a partner that is responsible for your SQL environment, but then you've got another partner that wants to do SharePoint stuff that needs SQL, or BizTalk that needs SQL, then who's allowed to do what? Can you go run new? Can you do more new queries? Can you go do some database maintenance? Or should the partner that is responsible for SQL, should they be doing that? So do that thinking and make sure that the people who own the sandpit, go talk to them first. So this is our framework. It looks, if you've seen an ITIL framework, it looks really similar. We've made our own adjustments and it's it. It works.
Absolutely. And components of MOF and components of COBIT and stuff has all been incorporated into the detail. But effectively, this is what Zed Energy wants, and this is what makes them happy. And this is, to them, what service management will eventually look like once it's done inside Zed Energy. And I think that's really something to be proud about. Cool. We've got about 10 minutes of talking left. So the next thing we did was, and this, ladies and gentlemen, only happened 2 weeks ago. So the stuff you're getting now is very hot off the press. So part of the remediation planning that we did after the ops wrap was that we needed to run a service management workshop inside Z Energy. So what is this workshop? It's really a two-day workshop on what service management is. Now, I've done many years of ITIL training, so I've trained people from foundation level right up to the expert level. And believe me, there's nothing worse than taking people through a three-day foundation course with 260 slides and then death by PowerPoint and trying to get them through an exam. And that's something that we definitely tried to not happen here. So this was not about making a service management experts of people. This was about taking a larger group of people, explain the basics of service management, but in such a way that they actually get involved themselves. And one of the nice ways that we got themselves throughout the heavy discussions and stuff that happened was to make it real through a simulation that we use. Now, the simulation that we use is an airport simulation that's very computerized. It's in the room, and believe me, this simulation is designed to, in your first session, the wheels come off. And if I say the wheels come off, I really mean the wheels come off. Okay, and this was, it's really about making sure and getting the message across in terms of how do we actually get on top of the situation, and it's for that group of people to start working together, start applying principles to it, and in the end realize, but hang on a minute, a lot of what we've been doing is actually the service management stuff.
Absolutely. So one of the really key reasons that we did this was for what Leon talked about. One of the outcomes we wanted wasn't a bunch of certified people. We wanted a bunch of people who wanted to be awesome at service management in Zed. So to do that, we need to have a shared understanding of what service management was, why it was right for Zed, and what was their part to play in service management. So those are the reasons why.
Okay, so how did we do it together? It's effectively, again, we had this two-day workshop. And one of the key things about this workshop that was one of the outstanding highlights for me was how just about everybody on an ongoing basis were actively contributing. We had as part of this workshop not only the operational people, but we had people there from testing, we had people there from projects, and we even have the architect people there. So it was amazing throughout these sort of discussions how each started to realize how we're impacting the other person's life, and how important this whole service concept and service management concept throughout the actual life cycle of the service really is. So that was one of the highlights of this specific workshop, was to see that active level of engagement and how all these different people were all working together as one team in different roles, of course, but to effectively get on top of this massive airport simulation, keeping planes in the air, making sure fuel gets to where it needs to be, transactions actually going through, and we need to make a profit on this as well. So it's about all those challenges that have to be presented, and effectively, how do we get on top of it? So you want to talk about some of the benefits?
I'll talk to a little bit more on the airport simulation so you get a better idea of how it practically runs. So what you do is you take your team and you give them roles. And you don't want to give a resolver person a resolver role. So we gave a resolver person the CEO role. And this resolver person normally doesn't like thinking about business impact. So that was a heap of fun. And then you give other people the customer role. And they love that. You know, they get to be bossy. They get to be demanding. So they really, you know, my manager loved being in that one. And then you get people who wouldn't normally want to deal with being patient under stress. And you put them in the service desk. And then I got put in the technical resolver group. And I'm not great at actually resolving
stuff.
We
were on puzzles.
Yeah, you have to, so to resolve an issue, you take a whole bunch of clues, you look it up in books, you look at maps and this, that, whatever, and then they give you a choose the next number in the pattern, and I'm like, I don't know. So anyway, you get this thing happening, and you've got this screen up, and it shows you a physical map of the airport, and it's also transport company, so you get planes and trains as well. And then you start the timer, and then things start breaking. And the customers are complaining, and the service desk are trying to log tickets. And the first time around, nobody has a clue what they're doing. Because it's not like you're on your normal, and you know, you're not at work at your desk and there's a service desk logging calls with all these tools. You have no tools the first time around. There's no knowledge base. There's no process. So everybody's just yelling and screaming. There's people running around the rooms, post-it notes flying. And at the end of it, you just go, oh, my God, I just lost a whole bunch of money, and I really need a break. So that was our first time around. And so you get a bit of time, you do some more talking about the theory of service management, and then you apply it again. And so the second time round, typically, you learn how to log a ticket properly. You might agree how the service desk and the technical resolver group are going to talk, but you run it through and the customers are still yelling and your knowledge base is deficient, things break without warning, and you do slightly better. And so the third time around, your knowledge base is a little bit better, you've got more info in it, and you're starting to learn how to solve those puzzles. The service desk have got their stuff together and you've agreed a format on how you're actually going to run your, have your incident ticket laid out. The customers have been told to talk to the operations managers, and the operations manager will run the service desk team and the technical resolver team. And we bought a monitoring tool too, except the third time around, we didn't know how it worked. So most of the time we're staring up the screen going, I think something's, it broke. Okay, cool. So, but we did better. You know, we actually, we went better than E over, we got, I think, maybe just under 10 million. And the total that you could have made was 19 million, so it was all right. The CEO at that point had gotten into a role and was stamping her feet and telling us it was a pretty poor effort. So I'm like, oh, okay. And we weren't going to do a fourth one. Leon kind of dangled the carrot there and he said, you know, and someone said, no, that's as good as we're going to get. No, we can't get better. So we're like, oh, hey, hang on. So we ran it for the fourth time, improved the process again. Our knowledge base was more complete. We totally worked out how to use that monitoring tool. And so things would break and go, here's the answer. And we got, I think, 18 out of 19 million and completely aced it. And it's just that workshop proved to all the people who didn't get service management and why you might want to do it is that you need your people, you need your process, and you need your technology. When you get all those three working well, it's awesome.
And I think one of the amazing things in the fourth session was is that there were no major changes being made in the way that they actually did it from the way they did it in the third session. It was also about a little bit of modification, small modifications here and there, but focusing on what the business actually want,
yeah.
The outcomes came. So they were from less than 10 million. There was one person in the room that says, I don't think we can do much better than 10. And then effectively blew it out over 18 million at the end of the day. Was really, and the room after that was a buzz.
Yeah.
It really was a buzz. So that was really cool. All right, so would you guys tell us the next steps and where to in the future for Z in terms of next things on service management?
So really it is, I think we've completely cemented service management within our service operations team. We absolutely have the interest of our project management office, our testing and architecture team. So we are seeking to work closer with those teams to implement service management. Paul, you were saying about the...
Yeah, I mean, in the terms of our customer, we've had a concept going for quite a while about integrating with our business. So, for example, when it comes to language, we talk of ourselves not as IT, but as business technology. And that's something we really try and live and breathe. But now we've got a real feeling for how we can actually make that happen and how we can integrate with our business and start talking about that value add that we can give, not just all about being ones and zeros.
So we're 10 months on from starting our service management journey. And the really happy news was that on Tuesday morning, we were advised that our request for funding to get some backfill in for Paul and I to do more work on service management in a more formal way and to really get into the next phase had been approved. So 10 months in, we'd gone from just get the technology in, just make it work, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going to that's really important, get the process and people right too. And that's just a huge validation of the effort over the last 10 months.
And the nice thing about it is also not only the validation but the understanding of the impact that this stuff actually has on the outcomes of
Absolutely.
IT and Z Energy.
So cool. If there was one thing we were going to leave you, if you're interested in your own service management journey, is don't let perfect get in the way of good. If you just start one foot after the other and keep taking the steps towards Mount Everest, you will achieve change, and it will happen. We saw benefits coming through from places we just didn't expect it, and they were really cool little things. And when they happened, they just keep giving you the motivation to keep on going. And, you know, there were times where the environment got noisy again and we might have to shelve the efforts we were doing for a month. But when you keep going and you've got an idea of where you want to go, it's like you've left your bookmark. That service management framework was our bookmark. We always had someone to come back to. So just get started.
Cool. Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. So I'm going to open the floor now to questions, but just quickly before I do that, thank you for the patience and also for the fact that all of you are still sitting here for a non-technology talk at a very technology sort of conference. It's really a huge compliment and great. And thank you for your attendance. I'm open.
Okay.
So there's probably about 6 minutes or so left for questions. So anybody with some questions? Okay, the question is whether the simulation game has got a name. The name, the one that we use is the McKinley or the McKinsey. McKinley. Oh, thanks. I just got corrected. Yeah. McKinley Airport Simulation. So it's a formalized simulation that is used across many companies around the world. It's something that comes from the UK, I believe. So, yes, it's but it's quite a nice tool. You can make the game as complex as you want, and the lessons out of it is really awesome.
Cool. This one? Yeah, so if you think back, so the question was, do we have a plan or a process to keep the service management process ongoing over time? So for us, that service management framework is a living document. And our framework isn't actually, it's not set in stone. There are bits, as we've gone through time, we look back at it and we go, I get that there was an idea behind that, but I'm not sure it entirely fits. So it's really important, if you remember the pretty picture, one of those wedges was continuous improvement. I think in other frameworks, you see that as just this kind of vague circle that goes all around and you do it all the time. But actually, the reality for Zed is that it's a conscious effort. You have to keep doing, you have to keep improving it. You want to choose where you apply your effort. So for us, it's something that, yes, we do have a plan in that we've got that funding to keep going. But when we do things like our incident management and look, to be honest, we had an incident that didn't go so well this week. We've already had what were our learnings, what do we want to do better? So we do that a lot more now. And it's the incremental change that actually produces a big change over time.
If I could just add to that without turning this into a sales exercise, we also have Microsoft have a premier agreement with Zed Energy. So throughout that, there is constant engagement from our side on the service management side as well to help Zed Energy on this journey. Because this is a journey. It's not something you're going to do in 10 months. They're really still in the early stages of that journey. But effectively, they've taken those bold, important steps to actually make sure. And for us, it's also skin in the game in terms of making sure that they actually stay on that journey and also realize the benefits of the investment that has already been made over this past while.
One here.
Michelle, did you and Dave do this as your day jobs over the last 12 months, or was this in addition to your
Repeat the question.
So the question was, did we do this as our day job over the last 10 months, or was it in addition to our day jobs as well? And so Paul and I, yes, this was in addition to our day jobs. And that was a bit of a killer to start with. But at the same time, when, I don't know about your environment, but we get to Christmas, New Year time, and we do change freeze. You can't stop the fuel from being delivered. And so everything naturally kind of winds down. So we absolutely capitalised on the January, February period. The projects just didn't quite ramp up as fast this year. They had extra planning and design to do. We took any quiet downtime as much as we could and just pumped it into service management. We also made some real choices about, I usually do this in my day job and I'm going to go quiet on that. So I had a real focus on capacity management last year and I just came back to, I will deal with that as it comes up. I chose to not get so heavy into problem management. It was just making some really key choices about what we were going to do.
I think we also really shared what we were getting after.
Yeah.
So in a lot of cases, we had our partners stepping up to help us in some places where typically that would have been our responsibility. It could be something as minimal as I typically send out the cab minutes each week. But if I was working on some service management stuff, there was an agreement that somebody would back me up from one of the partner side. Now, it seems trivial, right? But it meant that we could have uninterrupted blocks of time.
Yeah.
And as we went through this journey, the buy-in from our other staff, like our peers and our colleagues, was just so good. So it wasn't just us making time for this. There was a lot of other people around us as well.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Yes.
So the question is, when we've included the project team to do service maps, does that include them doing all of the upstream and downstream stuff too? Is that the gist of it? So I guess when you do a service mapping session, you know, essentially you want to get in a big room with lots of whiteboards, and then you just go, okay, what's all the hardware involved? What are all the upstream services? What are all the downstream services? Tell me about the software. What partners are involved? Who are the customers? What have we actually promised to deliver in terms of our SLAs? So you have all of, and you just end up with a huge lot of information. And so it's something that we don't just throw at them to do. We do it with them. And I'm quite happy to lead the service mapping sessions with them. So do we go in depth on every single upstream and downstream? No. Over time, there will be service maps for every service, so they will exist. And hopefully you can build in, you can see the nirvana I like to think of as somehow magically you can click on a service and then click through the upstream and see its service map. And yeah, so it's something that you build over time.
Yeah, and I think a cool aspect of what we're building is the architecture team we've got have actually built 70% of this collateral already.
Yeah.
So it's actually more about having it in a different type of conversation. So they might have very much the screws and bolts of how the service hangs together, and it's really just fleshing it out and adding how does that relate back to your actual people. So, yeah, it's got quite a lot of that work.
So the question was, when does a service get handed over to us? At which phase of the project? I think our project transition process is still fairly in its infancy, but our approach to the project transition process isn't that you get to the end of it and BAU people go, actually, you haven't met these parts of my ransom, so you can't go into production. Instead, we like to go at the very start of the project and say, hey, cool, awesome service. Now, if you want to get to production, here's what we're going to need to do. I want to make sure this is taken care of and that, make sure you think about change control, blah, blah, blah. And so it kind of ends up that when you get to the end of a project, instead of having a handover cert, which is a ransom note, hopefully it's a ticket to party because both people are just coming together and say, we've done it, it's good, let's go live.
Okay. If there's any more questions, we'll be in front of you guys. Thank you very much for your attendance, and I hope you have a lovely evening.